All right, let's take our Bibles to Acts chapter number 6. Acts chapter number 6. And just this morning, as I was getting ready to read in the Word of God just a little bit, before I start to pray, and my Bible marker was right here in this chapter. And actually for chapter 7, because that's where when I read my New Testament, this is where I'm at in the New Testament. And I just happened to glance down at chapter number 6. And, you know, some things that I had marked in the Bible and had underlined. And, you know, and all of a sudden I thought about this message. And this was earlier, and I hadn't even talked to Brother Manoy yet. And, you know, and I remembered this message. And I guess it was, I just wondered, you know, God, are you preparing me, you know, for something this morning? And when I got the call, and Lord, and I was, you know, I'd try to pray about something else, and, you know, and even the ladies, they sang about the wall of prayer. And, you know, I thought about preaching on prayer this morning. And it's just things that, you know, goes through your mind, and you wonder, you know, is that the will of God? Is this the will of God? What do you want me? But I really believe this morning, as just glancing down at chapter number 6, I believe that's where we need to go this morning. And again, I'm thankful, and I know there's some faces here I've not seen and before. So if you're here, and I've not been here, it's just been a few months we've been just seeking the will of the Lord, but if you're here listening to me the first time, and as I've already said, I know what it's like when a pastor's out. It's just a different atmosphere. And you know, I told my wife when I pulled in the parking lot, I said, there's a lot of people here. And I said, man, I hope they're not going to be disappointed this morning. We're disappointed that Brother Benoy is not here, and we do wish him a speedy recovery. But I'm going to ask you to stand for the reading of the precious word of the Lord. And I want to look at Acts chapter number 6, very familiar portion of Scripture. And you'll find that this situation that we're going to read about is when they called for the 7 deacons. And I definitely ain't going to preach on deacons this morning, but I want to draw some things out. And they may need preaching too. I don't know. But I trust that I believe y'all got some good deacons around here. So and I'm my hat's off to these guys. And it's an important work, and it's important to the pastor. But in Acts chapter number 6, and beginning in verse number 1, in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of disciples unto them and said, it's not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. They had a lot going on a plate, and that they needed some help in the work of the Lord. And verse number 3, it said, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report. Now I want you to notice these words that's coming up. Full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Verse number 5, and the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen. Look at here. A man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. And Philip, and Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicolaus. Y'all can't pronounce them either, so. A proselyte, Brother Steve probably could, of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, again, looky here, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Will you pray with me and for me? Father, in Jesus' name, we come to you in prayer. What a blessing it is to be back at Bible Way Baptist Church. And the dear pastor, Brother Benoy, we pray, Father, that your healing touch upon him. We pray, Father, now, Lord, that you will help in this service, the remainder of the service, in the preaching hour. Lord, we thank you for being so good to us. And Lord, you're gracious to us, and you're so merciful to us to even allow me to be right here in this pulpit this morning. There's a number of great men preachers that could have mounted the pulpit this morning, but I'm thankful, God, that you've allowed me this opportunity to be right here, and I take it. I do not take it for granted, Father, for this open door. Father, we pray now that you will continue to bless, continue to move. Pray for Brother Steve tonight, Lord, as he preaches here at the church. I pray your will be done. Oh God, we love you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Again, I can't say it enough. I'm honored and humbled to be here, and my family, and it was good to see Mom, my cousin, come in. I do want to acknowledge them, and I'm thankful that they come all the way from Rogersville just to hear little old me preach, and I hope I'm not a disappointment this morning. But I want you to notice in Acts chapter number 6, I don't want to let my God down. I really don't this morning. I want you to notice a few things, that, and I tried to emphasize it as I went down through there. In verse number 3, it said, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. In verse number 5, about Stephen, said, full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. In verse number 8, again, we're talking about Stephen was full of faith and power. And you know, if you study in the next three chapters, how big of an influence that Stephen was. And you even go in, I think it's chapter number 8, where he was being stoned for the things he said and living the life of a Christian. But here it was in the Word of God, as they sought out these deacons, these men of an honest report, they wanted to make sure that there were 7 men. And they said about the 7 was full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. Boy, it should be our desire to be full of the Holy Ghost. It ought to be our desire from the pulpit all the way back. It ought to be our desire to be full of wisdom. And how do we get wisdom? I always give this definition, Brother Steve, that wisdom is simply just seeing things the way God sees them. So if you desire wisdom, get in the Word of God, because that's where you're going to find out the will of God, the ways of God, the wisdom of God, and the walk of God. You'll find out where you can find all of that. And it's going to take the fullness of the Holy Ghost. It'll take us being full of wisdom. But in verse number 5, it talking about Stephen, said Stephen was a man that's full of faith. How's your faith this morning? How's your faith? Full of faith, and again, of the Holy Ghost. And Stephen in verse number 8, full of faith again, but it also added something else with full of faith, full of wisdom, full of the Holy Ghost. It also was full of power. We get the power from the Word of God. We get the power from the Holy Ghost. We get the power, and it's available to all of us this morning. I want you to notice with me this morning, as we want to look on having the fullness of God. Having the fullness of God, and how important that is to all of us. This morning, if I was to ask you, I believe I will. How many has been saved by the marvelous grace of God? Now, Brother Stephen's already asked you that you remember the day, that you remember that there was a time when God saved your soul. So this morning, if you cannot raise your hand, that is the first priority. We, as God's people, desire for you to be saved, come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and as the choir sung, being born again. Being born again. But the next step that we should desire, I know at that moment of conception, that moment that we got saved, born again, the Holy Spirit come right inside and to live. So, because the Bible says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. In Romans 8:9. You'll find also that moment that he came inside to live and to dwell. But there come a daily, and I'm gonna give you a proof text here in just a minute. I'm glad you asked me for one. In Ephesians chapter number 5, let me just go ahead and give it to you since it's right here. Be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but to be filled with the Spirit. That's what he desires for me. That's what he desires for you. He desires for an individual. He desires it for a family. He desires it for a church. For to be filled with the Spirit of God. Let me give you a couple of definitions that I believe will help you. When we're talking about having the fullness of God, fullness means the quality or state of being full. Now, if this bottle of water was full all the way up, you can look at that and you can say, man, that's full. I mean, I know there's a little bit gone out of it. They cheated us, didn't they? But if I take that lid off and all of a sudden it's all the way up to the brim, full, that you can't get it. Oh, God, this ought to help you. Get so full up to the brim in your life, so full of God, that if one little thing goes into it, it'll be gushing all over. That's the way I desire, brother. That's the way I desire. That it, just one little note of a piano, or one little song, or somebody, woo, glory, amen. That I should be so full that one little drop get down in the Gabriel into my soul that I just gush all over. And my life are to be that when I'm a gushing, it'll get on her. It'll get on these. It'll get on all of you. It'll get on your pastor. What would help us? What would help us if we'd come into the house of God? Maybe even tonight, dear friends, come in tonight so full of God. That's what I'm preaching on, having the fullness of God. What it's going to take, number one, you be saved by the marvelous grace of God. Born again, washed in the blood. And then it ought to take, I know sometimes we get dirty. There's sins that gets in our heart. But I'm thankful. I'm thankful in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful. He's so faithful to forgive us of our sins. He's a faithful Father. He's a forgiving Father to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Get that all under the blood. And then just say, God, will you fill me? Fill me with your Spirit. That manifest presence that are to pop out on us. That are to make a difference. So what we need to do, this even in this morning, maybe even at the time of the altar call, maybe you need to come up here and say, Father, I'm not right where I need to be. And I'm going to tell you, Brother Stephen, I know you know this as well, in a crowd this size, more than likely, there's some people sitting on these pews that are not right with God. I hope there's not. I mean, I hope everybody's as full to the brim as you can be. I'm not fussing at you. But them choir songs this morning, when you sung them choir songs, if you'd have really listened to what you just sung, y'all would still be singing. Amen. I mean, about salvation and the coming of the Lord, two of the greatest events. Number one, the day that I got saved, November 18th, 1979. That was one of the greatest events in my life. And then knowing that the next greatest event's the coming of the Lord. So there's two things that we should get excited about. Having the fullness of God. Being filled. The thought of being, and that's the whole purpose in Ephesians chapter number 5, be filled with the Spirit, to be controlled. Just being, just like a drunk is under the influence of the bottle, be not drunk with wine where it's excess, but there's a contrast, but be filled. Let me just tell you, Justin, we are to be so intoxicated with the Lord Jesus Christ that it'll make a difference. Be under the control. And I've got a lot of work to do on that myself. I'm not preaching something old Brother Craig has mastered this morning. Yes, I've preached this before. And it seems like it always keeps coming back. And apparently, if it's not for you, apparently it's for me. But looking at Stephen, him being full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, verse number 8, full of faith and power, he was full. Now, when God gave me this message a few years ago, this is a little carnal here, but I thought about calling it, we're just full of it. But I didn't know if that would be real nice. So, having the fullness of God, it ought to be everybody's desire in this place this morning. There's no accidents that you're having to hear me preach on having the fullness of God. I will be honest with you this morning, Brother Ralph. If we would all get so full of the Holy Ghost, it will change Bible way for the glory of God. Get so full of God. Ask God to fill you. Say, God, I want nothing else. I don't care who you are, member or visitor. Ask God to fill you with the Spirit of God. Now, looking at Stephen just a minute, he was not, I would say, if you do a study, he was not known for his social status. He probably was not, he may not have been a popular man. He may have not had a big, long PhDs and all these THDs and REXBQ 123s. He may not have had the great education. But when it come down, to needing somebody to help those disciples, to help in the work of the Lord, and this is not just for preachers being full of the Holy Ghost. It's not just for the deacons, you deacons. It's for everybody. Because when you study the Word of God, you'll find that this is everybody. Even I was mentioning to Donna just the other night, I think it was last night while we were sitting on the swing, that in Jude, it talks about it's a common salvation. That everybody's got to come through the blood. Everybody's got to get saved, and it's going to come through Jesus Christ. But there's something that He desires for all of us, and you can read, and I'm going to look at that. I'm going to look at some verses of Scripture. I don't have the pretty outlines like I try to, that God gives them, but this is just, I'm going to give you some verses that I hold that will help you this morning. But looking at Stephen, there was, instead in him, he had zeal. He had prudence. He was ready to do good. He had a brotherly attitude. There was something special about Stephen and the other six gentlemen that I cannot pronounce. But Stephen, and of course I can pronounce Philip, but he was full. He was full. He was full. Should that be our desire? Not just a preacher, not just a deacon, not just a Sunday school teacher, but it's everybody. You've been saved this morning. You have the potential. You have the potential right down here. Hold, Brother Mike. I'm glad you got baby here. When little one was born, everything that little baby needed to help it to grow was born in her. Oh, you're not going to get this, are you? It's going to fly right over your head. That little baby, let me ask Brother Mike, does baby know how to eat? Does baby know how to cry? Where do you think she learned that? It was in her. You get saved by the marvelous grace of God. Everything you need to get full of the Holy Ghost, full of God, came inside. Now, I realize. I heard a preacher just the other week, and I'm not doubting what he said. I agree with it, because even I read it this morning in Ephesians. He talked about that the Holy Spirit was just earnest. It's just a down payment of what He's given us. And I understand what He's saying. But I'm going to tell you, if we would lock in the whole potential, the whole power, the whole fullness of God, the wholeness of wisdom, if we would tap in to what God has for us, it will change our lives. Just getting so full of God. Having the fullness of God. Webster said it like this. I looked up fullness in the Webster, and it said the state of being filled. Oh, this will blow your mind. And this is Webster. I think that's just about as inspired as the Word of God. Old Webster, 1828, it's the version I used. The state of being filled so as to leave no part vacant. You better think about that. Leaving no part vacant. Now you go with me. Just a few months ago, we celebrated Christmas. Now when Mary and Joseph came to the inn, the innkeeper said no room in the inn. Did he not? I believe, brothers and sisters in Christ, a lot of people are missing out on the full potential. They're saying there's no room in the inn. Oh, yeah, we're saved. We're born again. We've been baptized. We go to church. We tithe our money. We try to love our people. We try to love our church. But there's so much more. There's so much more. And where are you going to find it? You're going to find it in this Word. You're going to find it on your knees in prayer. It's the fullness of God. Webster goes on to say, abounding or being great plenty. Abundance. Jesus Himself, He came to give life. But He didn't just come to give life. He came to give it more abundantly. It's in us. We should let it come out. Completeness, the state of a thing in which nothing is wanted. Oh, God wants so much more for us, God's people. He's wanting so much for us. But are we willing? A lot of people don't want to they don't want to pay the price, Miss Eve. Oh yeah, they want the get out of hell free card. They want that. But that's all they want, Miss Christie. That's all they want. As long as I'm not going to hell. But I'm going to be honest with you. We've got lost family members. We've got lost work associates. They need to see a difference in me, and they need to see a difference in you. And it's going to take a filling of the Holy Spirit. Now, I know there's some religions. They pray on that. But I'm going to be honest with you. We had the Holy Spirit, preaching of the Holy Spirit, long before the charismatics and all them come along. The Holy Spirit never, and if you've been under Brother Manoy any length of time, you know this. The Holy Spirit never speaks of Himself. And you can study Genesis 24, and I'm going to preach on that one day. I'm going to get a bride for Isaac. Oh, yes. I encourage you to read that. Completeness, the state of thing in which nothing is wanted. Perfection. Oh, no, brother. You're preaching a sinless perfection. I'm not. We're complete in Him. Positionally, I mean, He already sees us in heaven. He already sees us worthy because of the blood. When He sees me, He sees the blood of the Lamb. So much more He's got for us. Will you turn with me? to John chapter number 1. I'm going to look at a few scriptures. John chapter number 1. Hope you keep your Bible open because we're going to go with two or three more places. I want you to look at that completeness, that fullness, and it's all part of being mature. I want you to look at beginning in verse number 1. I just want to read this to get started. John chapter number 1, the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word. Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, go with me to verse number 14. This is my text that I want to look at. The Word was made flesh. That Word in verse number 1 is the Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of Him, who? The truth. Who? The Word. Who? The Lord Jesus. John bare witness of Him, cried, saying, "This was He of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for He was before me." Even before the foundation of the world, God Himself looked down and knew that the people would need a Savior. Verse number 16, and of His fullness, this right here will make you shout. It should. And of His fullness have all. A-double-L, you look it up, it means all. All means all. And of His fullness have all we received. And grace for grace. When I told you the fullness have all we, whose fullness was it? It said His fullness. All the fullness that God has, we have. Thank you, Lord. That helps me. And of His fullness, they're talking about the truth, they're talking about the Word, they're talking about Christ, John is, and of His fullness have all we received, having the fullness of God. Turn with me to Colossians. I'm just showing you a few scriptures. Colossians, kind of back up what I'm talking about this morning. Colossians chapter number 1, I want to begin reading in verse number 15. While you're turning. Colossians chapter number 1 and verse number 15. Of course, if you study your Bible, know anything about your Bible, Colossians talks about completion. That's the main theme. In verse number 15, who's the image of the invisible God? We're talking about Jesus Christ. The firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Look here, verse number 19. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. All fullness. And it's all. We're complete in Him. And everything, the fullness that He has, we have. Because if I'm in Him and He's in me, He's got fullness, so do I. Amen. Amen. Don't let it get excited now. You know, just stay in your seat now. It ought to bless you that the Word of God can come alive to us this morning. In Him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily, as it says in chapter number 2 and verse number 7. Let's go over there. In Colossians 2, look at verse number 7. The Bible says, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through the philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principalities. The Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, was writing to this church at Colossae. So if he's writing to the church, and the church epistles is for me, the church epistles is for you. We find out where we are in Christ, who we are in Christ. It would bless us. And I think that many of God's people get so anemic to the fact of what we really are in Christ. Yeah, I mean, you check it out. Check me out. Ephesians talks about being adopted in the family, being part of the bride, being part of the blood. You're already seated. You're already in the heavenlies. All this and so much more. If we just get a glimpse in the Word of God and find out really who we are in Christ. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter number 1. Ephesians chapter number 1. Then I'm going to give you a couple illustrations. And I'm going to say it right. We'll be finished. In Ephesians chapter number 1, verse number 15, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, love unto all saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ," and this is a prayer of the Apostle Paul, for this church at Ephesus, "that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that ye may know what's the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of inheritance in the saints, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power." It's all in it. Look at verse number 23. "Which is his body?" I could have read all the way through there, and I encourage you to go back. "Which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." Amen. Now let me give you something. I'm sure you know this. I want you to look at that word filleth. This will help you. E-T-H. When you see a word in your King James Bible, and I know I'm in the right place, your King James Bible this morning, when you see an ETH, it is a continuous. And you've heard this old statement, I leak. So I need to constantly be filled with the Spirit. I need to have that feeling, which is the body, the fullness of him that filleth. A continuous feeling all in all. God help us to just get full of the Holy Ghost. If you're so like this bottle, if you're full, I encourage you, stay like that. Now I'm looking at a group of people, you don't have halos. And we've all got the problem. But if we just grasp this message this morning, it will help us. Just asking God, fill me. You know the old song, "Fill my cup, Lord." You know, I'm lifting it up. Asking God to do something great in our personal lives. Asking God through the filling of the Holy Spirit in our families. Asking God to do something great through your pastor, through the people of Bible Way, visitors getting filled of the Holy Ghost, members getting full of the Holy Ghost. In Matthew chapter number 21, will you turn there? I can about do it without you turning. Let me do that. That won't take a time. There was a colt tied. I want you to listen. I've got a couple of illustrations. There was a colt tied. Jesus had need of the colt. That colt that was tied to that post, no man had ever sat on that colt. Jesus was in need of that colt. And this is good for preaching to young people. Being used of God, having getting God on your life. What the only man that ever sat on that colt, and that definitely the first man, was the Lord Jesus Christ. Before the world, before the flesh, before the devil, on you young people, you get God on you. You're like, we're all like that colt. Young people, you're being tied to the post that one day God's going to request for you. He's going to say, I have a need for you, young lady. I have a need for you, young man. Unloose him. And let God. That colt. Think about this, Justin. That colt was full of God. All the weight of that colt was Jesus. Oh, this is another good message. I could run with this one all night. Get God on you. Doesn't matter if you're a young person, middle age, one of those backlog believers, you saints of God, I love you. Ask God to get on your life. I'm telling you, I'll tell you again, it will change this church. Amen. Having the fullness of God. So I've got an illustration. I'm going to end with this. On New Year's Day, when I read this, man, I just kind of looked. My eyes was bigger than this. On a New Year's Day, and many of us try to watch this, Tournament of Roses Parade, a beautiful float suddenly sputtered and quit because it had run out of gas. The whole parade was held up until somebody could go get some gas because of one float. Ladies and gentlemen, this float, you know, all of them's represented by such and such company. This float represented the Standard Oil Company. With all of its vast oil resources, they run out of gas. With all our vast resources that we can tap into, we're still spitting. We're still sputtering. We're running out of gas. I'm going to tell you, as we sung, walk on. Get full of the Holy Ghost. Get enough gas that'll make it home. The Bible says, I press towards the mark. Press on. Reach forth. Press on, God's men. Press on, God's ladies. Young people, press on. Yes, it's hard. Times are tough. Press on. Amen. Keep reaching forward. Forgetting, and my family's had to do this a lot here and over the last few months, forgetting those things which are behind. Forget it. Yes, there's hurts. Yes, there's grievances. You would like to pinch some of them's heads off. But I'm going to tell you, get to God. Press on. Press on. Press on. Father, as we come to you in prayer, thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to my heart. As Brother Steve comes, as the pianist comes, play an invitation hymn. We don't have to have any singing unless Brother Steve feels led of the Lord. But I'm trusting with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to ask you, how's your relationship with Jesus? How's your relationship with the Word of God? How's your relationship with the Word of God? How's your relationship in prayer? The altar's open. As she plays.